what is the church's relationship to the person who is homosexual? That obviously includes what the church is about. It obviously includes homosexuality. But my concern, and the, I mean, for the topic, as I understand it, is how does the church deal, work with, respond to the person who is homosexual? And that's a bit of a focus in it. It doesn't mean to rule something out, but it does mean to include something in. Is that fair? Any explanation adequate? Okay. And I promise that my role is going to be one of moderating. I won't be participating. I do have things to say, but my choice tonight is to be the moderator. And another time, I'll be glad to share with you otherwise, too. So, Molly, would you mind sharing? Are you willing to lead off that way?
It would be awful if I said no.
Yes, would it? Well, we could play tic-tac-toe or, you know, something else. Yes. Okay.
My name is Molly Lloyd-Wilson, and I'm on staff here at Holden. I've been here since mid-May and very much a part of the community. I am a lesbian, and my own definition of what that means is that I am capable of a very deep emotional, psychological, sexual, and spiritual commitment to another woman. So I have, in my lifetime, and do now, love many different people, men and women, children. The intensity and fullness, all that I have to give, is shared potentially with a woman. I feel very natural about this, very much at peace and very comfortable. Roberta Kivaloma was my spouse for 9 years. A day didn't go by that we didn't say to each other how lucky we were to have found one another. And we loved each other in the fullest, most wholesome sense of the word. We were two whole people who came together and somehow became more than the sum of our parts. Our relationship was warm. It was caring, respectful, spontaneously affectionate. We had important silences. It was sexual and sensual. We were silly, funny. We had our arguments. It was not the perfect relationship. Somewhere along the line, in those 9 years, a sort of covenant of marriage evolved. It wasn't superimposed. We didn't sit down one day early on and say, this is what our relationship is going to be. It just grew out of our love for one another. There was a trust and a faithfulness. In sickness and in health, till death do us part. We knew that 50, 100 years, many times that, together would not be long enough. Roberta died of brain cancer last year. I nursed her at home. She died at home and I was with her. My message to all of you is that love does find a way. What is love and where does it come from is really a mystery, and I was forever in awe, not only of what we had together, but of Roberta herself. What Roberta and I had together, I really wish for everyone. And it is possible for everyone. We all have that capacity. All of you have known gays, some male homosexual, and lesbians, some women homosexuals. You have known them in your lifetime. They are your brothers and your sisters, your cousins, aunts, and uncles. They're your friends and the people you work with. They're your children. Growing up homosexual is brutal. Very early on, we all know who we are, but how we place ourselves in the community, in the church, with our own family and our friends is precarious at best. Most gays and lesbians choose to protect who they are. That protection is for their own survival. So very often you will not know these people. They will not come out to you. But they are with you. 1 in 10 in the United States is gay and or lesbian. Because of the brutality that we have all faced in our evolving, we've left the church and we've had to leave our families. We've left our friends. And we know that at one time or another that various ties will be severed, if not by us, by the people we love the most. Consequently, if gays and lesbians live to adulthood, they come to terms with who they are and what they're about, and they're probably some of the strongest people you'll ever meet. The mortality rate is high. I would suspect that that's a reason for teenage suicide. I would guess that's the reason for drugs and alcohol abuse. I would guess that that's the reason for many gays and lesbians becoming street people, leading very flamboyant, irresponsible lives. And perhaps that's their survival too, because my word, if they all of us took it so seriously, the church, the family, the friends, those that were closest to us, it could be a killer. And it is. But love does find a way. And certainly Roberta and I are not the exception. We are the rule in the homosexual community. The people you don't know are the people who have relationships such as the one I just described to you. But they'll rarely let you know about it or let their light shine through, because the most precious thing of all is the love they have for one another. And the world can be so cruel. My part in the Holden community has also been very wholesome and healthful. I was amused the other day, one of my fellow staff members sat down when we were talking about San Francisco, and both very excited about some of the sights to see. And she said to me, you know, we went to look for the homosexuals, and you know, I've never known any. And I said, Carla, I'm sitting next door to you, and I'm a lesbian. And how I live for the day that it would be just about as medium as that. Question, are you a lesbian, for example? No, but thank you for asking. Please pass the salt. I think that if we can just diffuse so much of this, that barriers could be breached and walls scaled. I guess that pretty well concludes my comments.
Shirley.
I don't want to... I'm Dave Hales from Leesville, Louisiana. I've got a lot of admiration and respect for you, that the statements you made. I can't say as I can look at it the way you do. To me, homosexuality is sin. Now, because sin, I've got a lot of sins too. I mean, I'm not condemning a person. But to me, it's sin, and we as Christians should be willing to forgive anyone of their sins, just as the Lord Jesus will. I guess my attitude would be, I feel sorry for you, no hard feelings or anything like that, but rather sorry, and in my mind, understand. I just can't understand homosexuality, and to me, it's sin. Not that I haven't got sins myself, and that's my way of looking at it.
Thanks for sharing. Someone else. Obviously welcome to make your own comments or respond to what Molly said or to what the gentleman said, or questions, whatever. Oh, please, sir.
In response to what you said, that is something that I've heard before, and the point at which I have to question that is the point at which I get up in the morning and look at myself in the mirror and say, how is it that by your very being, by the way you perceive the world, how is it in the way in which I perceive myself to be created, can I honestly say God made a mistake? As a gay man, I find that very difficult to relate to. That my fundamental being and my fundamental way of perceiving the world is not good. I'm not questioning any kind of doctrine of original sin, but to isolate the way in which a certain group of people experience the world, themselves, other people, God, I have to question, can that possibly be true? And for me, the answer has been no. I believe myself created whole and good, as I believe every human being to be created whole and good with a sense of dignity. And I have a great deal of difficulty imagining what the world would be like if the core of my being was created wrong. Okay.
Thank you. Anyone else? Oh, please.
I guess what I'd like to hear, since this is a Christian community, I'd like to hear some discussion about what Scripture has to say about this. I think that's if we do believe it's the inherent Word of God, that's where we should be starting.
Would you like to start?
I don't feel quite qualified to, but I'm sure there's many people here who are.
Sir, we couldn't hear the statement.
Oh. Do you want to say it again so I could echo it, but maybe it's better in your words? A little louder.
I'd like to start with Scripture. Since we do believe it's the inerrant Word of God, let's start there and discuss what Scripture has to say about it.
Not all of us in the room, you're making an assumption that all in the room would say it's the inerrant Word of God.
Okay, I would say. Okay.
You have to say that for yourself, okay? You're welcome to say that for yourself.
There's kind of a difference of thought on Scripture. I heard this distinction made last year. Inerrancy versus infallibility. Inerrancy is that Scripture, every word is true and right, and infallibility that you can stand on the Word of God. And so maybe that's a distinction that can be made. I've seen a lot of things in the Bible that I disagree with, and I guess the homosexuality is something I don't buy into as being sin either. I guess I'd agree with you, Tosh. I can't see how something that you're, I don't know that you're created with, but certainly something that you are through no choice of your own, I don't see how that can be wrong. So.
Don't we automatically have lust of the flesh and lust of the eye automatically? Does that mean it's right in God's sight to give in to those lusts?
Are you making a statement, or are you asking a question?
I want to have a discussion on that.
Okay. Do you want to start off by saying what you think, then somebody can respond? You don't have to, but I'm asking if you want to.
Well, I know that some of the sins that so easily beset me are not pleasing to God. And if I have pride or if I have selfishness, those are not pleasing to God, and I should really seek His strength and help to overcome those. And I may fall again and again, but still, I would put homosexuality on that same, I'm not good at being communicative, but I still would put that in as a sin also, as some others would, because of Romans 1 and Old Testament chapters. And
sure.
I believe the word, that it's wrong. I interpret it that way.
Please.
If I could share this, the Hold and Win our community, we've had gay Christian people, and we do have gay Christian people that are part of our community. And therefore, it's an issue that, of course, we have not I've been able to hide from or run from. And part of that during the winter was for us to really take every passage in the scripture that says anything or appears to say anything about homosexuality and not go into that with our cultural prejudices, which we often do, but to study that passage. And we were helped greatly at the beginning of the summer by Darius Larson, who's a Lutheran campus pastor in Albuquerque, New Mexico, that has spent a lot of time studying every passage. And so we had a Bible study. It's on tape if anybody, in one session, on the tape, it doesn't cover everything that thoroughly. The general conclusion is that the Bible has something to say about exploitive homosexual activity, as the Bible also has much to say about exploitive, sinful, heterosexual activity. We couldn't find where the Bible talks, really is not an issue in the Bible. What Molly was talking about is that two people who are born homosexual that have a loving relationship, a caring relationship. And this tonight isn't a Bible study, but there's a book in the bookstore called Is a Homosexual My Neighbor that carefully goes through these passages. You might not agree with the interpretation, but I think it's a very honest interpretation. And the second thing that I think is important, and we've already gotten a little confused on this, that there's a difference between talking about what a person is born as. And both the experience of gay people that I've talked to, been close to, heard their stories, and more the evidence of science, is that you do not decide to become a homosexual. And I would invite those here who are gay to share that if they would. But it's not a sinful thing that you decide. Sin is something you do, not something you are. That could be argued, but basically we need to make the distinction between those two things. Our first question, I think, is, at least for myself as a Lutheran Christian, is not, first of all, what some Bible verse says about homosexuality, but it is what the gospel says. And I think if there's one thing clear that Paul said, that if anybody is rejected from the Christian community because of something they are, then the church is sinning. Because the gospel is for everyone as they are. And this came to me not intellectually, but it came from a gay person that I knew in Albuquerque that went through weeks and weeks of prayer meetings to try to be cured, as you would say, of being gay. And it did not work. And finally, it was in reading some Lutheran theology about the grace of God that accepts us as we are, that gave him his peace. And he found in that teaching of the gospel that comes from the scripture, that's the center of the scripture, the good news for his life, that God accepts me as I was born and as I am. Now that person can sin with the homosexuality that he was born with, just as I can sin with the heterosexuality that I was born with. So these are just some observations of some of the struggles we've had, and if anybody wants to ask about a special Bible passage, I don't remember all of the things we went through, but that's it. Thanks.
Okay. Others, yes?
Could I just to get the point illustrated what you were making? You were more or less saying that the homosexual, that were you saying they should be forgiven, excused, just not think about it, that of what they are? You were saying about accepting them. Of course, we all know that if sinners weren't accepted, why, all of us could get up and probably walk out of here right now. But I just wondered what you had evidently had these Porringer discussions and done research of what you were saying, that forgiveness, acceptance, I mean acceptance of the homosexuality, or forgive them for being a homosexual. I'm not saying to restrict anyone from church or anything, but I just didn't get your point.
Okay, yeah, if I could clarify. Best way for me to clarify that is that when I reached puberty, I had no question I was heterosexual. You know, all of a sudden I started getting excited about women or other girls in school. You know, I knew I was a heterosexual. Nobody had to teach it to me. Nobody had to tell it to me. And it is very difficult for us to understand what it would have been like when we reached that age. All of us and have the society-wise have the fear and the terror of realizing that I am different than everyone else, and that is just the way I am. Not a decision that to do something or think something or be something sinful, but and science now I think is more and more confirming that if it's a matter of genetics or genes or some other reality, that approximately 1 out of 10 people are, you might say, born homosexual. Now, then the gospel comes to say, we don't say that, the gospel comes and says, then God accepts us as we are, and there is not a condition that somehow that person has to pretend like he is not a homosexual. The agony that I think many gay people have is to live their whole life pretending that they are not what they are. So I don't know if that's how I see it anyway. I need to understand that.
Someone else? Here.
Okay. I've had a real enriching summer getting to know how gays and lesbians feel, and I really thank Molly for helping me become better acquainted. But it seems to me one of the things that really has stuck out in my mind has been the fact that heterosexuals and homosexuals have a certain tendency to want to be with somebody who they feel comfortable with. So if we really look merely at their physical relationship, we're cutting out 90% of the rest of the relationship, which is really, to me, the important part of any relationship. And I think it's really important that the whole relationship be viewed. And if homosexuals and lesbians feel more comfortable with the intensity of that relationship, then I think that's really important to think about and to understand.
I wasn't quite sure what you said, but maybe others would pick that up. That isn't for me that you have to be clear either.
Go ahead, that's what I was.
Oh, okay.
Well, I was just saying, I mean, I'm heterosexual, and I'm not, I'm not married, but if I was married, I wouldn't be thinking about sex with my wife every hour of the day. I would be thinking about things that I could do with her, sharing things with her, having discussions, having differences of opinion. That's the point that I'm trying to get across.
But then your unspoken thing, is this what you're saying then, unspokenly, that gay people think about sex all the time?
No, what I'm saying is they're just like us.
Okay.
And that if what I'm feeling from a lot of the conversations is that there's a sort of a preoccupation with the physical aspect of the relationship, and what I'm saying is that there's more to that.
But that's what you're saying. In your understanding, there is a preoccupation with the physical relationship with
gay people. That's what I'm getting from some of the comments here.
Oh, from comments here. Okay, sorry. Now I understand what you're saying. Thank you. Please.
I keep thinking back to your sermon, a couple of nights ago?
Saturday night.
And about sexuality and love in a relationship. And that really pushed me to think about
what is sin for me in that kind of in sexuality. And that was very helpful. You didn't really talk about whether it was heterosexual or homosexual relationships. You talked about that. And I found that to be really opening for me. And I think as a counselor and a person who has taught courses in human sexuality several times, I realized that talking about sexuality, regardless of whether it's hetero or homosexual, is really nerve-wracking. And where the real importance of our sexuality finally lies is very difficult for any of us to get to. And I guess just hearing you, Molly, talk about your relationship made me feel with Roberta. Mm-hmm. For me, felt like it opened up part of me, just as Elmer's sermon did. And I guess part of what I'm trying to say is, I think some of the difficulties we have, and I have, with even talking about homosexuality, is the word sexuality, period. I just have a difficult time sometimes talking about it and thinking it through, and even knowing where I am all the time with my sexuality. And I guess it's more to me than sin or Christianity or the church. It's very personal, too, and I think that a lot of us may get tripped up just because we have sex sometimes.
Yeah, please.
Oh, I guess I just kind of grieve for the church, for parents, for the people themselves. It seems like sexual problems become the big thing, and I think it's our culture. I was thinking, you know, murders, we accept them. No, we forgive them and we accept them. But somehow we have trouble with this sexual thing. And I kind of think God's up there saying, are my people ever going to learn to love each other and not try and change each other? I think somehow we're into this business of changing, you know, making everybody white Americans. And we just can't let God's creatures be what they are. And I grieve for it. I think I know parents of homosexuals, and I think the grief that they're feeling.
Thank you. Someone else.
I think what she was saying is kind of, I was thinking about it, that, you know, the murderer, we can repent and we can forgive him. I mean, we can feel forgiveness in ourselves because he has repented. But if you want to look upon homosexuality as a sin, unless they repent, they can't be forgiven. If you look upon it as a sin. So there can be no forgiveness.
If I understand your statement, just to be for clarity again, that by repenting you mean unless they would change and stop being homosexual, then there wouldn't be any forgiveness. That's what you're saying. Okay. Yes, sir, please.
For me, as Christians, we're all sinners. It's not a matter of saying that one person is a sinner and another isn't. The only advantage the Christian has is that he is forgiven and that God has given him his grace. And this extends certainly to homosexuals as well as it does to other people. I'm not making that a different type of offense as far as God is concerned. Nevertheless, in his word, it is an offense. And we see in the creation that he created man and woman. He didn't create man and man. He didn't create woman and woman. He created man and woman. And obviously he had a plan there. Whether it's for populating the...
As long as you stick the word in, I think and I believe, then you can say obviously.
Sure. Okay. Obviously, I think.
Okay. Okay. Just so it remains yours. That's fine. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Continue.
My chain got broken.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Anyhow, another point that was made earlier was that homosexual people are born that way. For me, it's not so much that they're born that way, but that they had some influences in their early life relating to their parents. Many times, I'm sure, they come from a family situation where they do not have a strong mother or father image. It may be a single parent home. It may be a home where one of the parents is more or less ineffectual or is not giving them a good role model. And I'm sure this is a big factor. And of course, it does give them a certain area of weakness in their lives. I have areas of weakness in my life too. It's not that particular area, but I have other areas of weakness. We all have areas of weakness. And we need to acknowledge that and recognize that in ourselves, as well as it's very easily done in other people. It's much easier for me to recognize somebody other's weakness than my own. So I accept homosexual people. I've known some. And that doesn't mean that I would tell them that they're not God's children and that they can't be His children. But at the same time, for them to say that this is right, that this is God's plan, I can't accept that.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm a twin, and my sister has been heterosexual from the earliest of memory, and I've been lesbian from the earliest of memory. We had the same environment and the same parenting, the same sort of influences at school, and the same friends in the same neighborhood. And current studies done have shown that homosexuals come from all kinds of families. They can be the first child or the seventh. They can be from one parent, both parents, strong mother, strong father. Interestingly enough, the children who are raised by gay parents all turn out heterosexual. Gay children come from heterosexual families. Can I run that by you again? There are gays out there who have reared children, and all the children are heterosexual. The gay children come from heterosexual families.
If it's not environmental, then why?
We don't know. We don't know. We do know these things that I just mentioned. And it isn't uncommon for twins to have that, the gay and the heterosexual split. My sister and I are classic examples, and we certainly are part of an even larger group of twins who are one gay and one heterosexual.
We can't make absolute rules, and certainly, I mean, just because one twin is a murderer and the other one isn't doesn't mean that they both have come from the same background, and so therefore they're both going to be murderers. Obviously, that does not apply, and the same thing with homosexuality. There are many other influences that come to play in our lives.
Indeed.
And
it's
not
point.
Just our parents. We can't blame everything on our parents, even though sometimes that's the easy way to go. And so there are lots of other factors involved. I didn't want to make it too simple and blame it all on that, but that is a factor.
Of course, I would like to reverse it. There's a lot of blame, and my frame of reference is that parents of gay children should be proud because their children are sent out very similar to what happened to Jesus, in that they are capable of that love, and that becomes the all-consuming, the all-important, and they're willing to, when they come to terms with all of that, they do have to leave father and mother and community to pursue that. Yes, go ahead.
No, it's okay. I thought you were done. The gentleman back there had his hand up before. Did you?
Yeah,
please.
Well, I was just going to say, I have trouble with the issue in that I believe that God made man and woman, but I also think that He gave us free will. And if a person chooses to engage in a relationship which is loving and positive, then how can that be a sin? How do we call that a sin if it is really a loving and caring relationship? I can see it if it's perverted or contorted to such a degree that it is something which is evil, but if it's positive, it's growing, how can that be a sin? And that's sort of a larger issue, the question of it being a sin. And you look at the hate done by so-called Christians towards people that are homosexual or another minority. It seems to me that the fundamental issue is love. And if it is a positive relationship, I have trouble accepting it as a sin, just personally. That's how I see it.
We'll take some other people first, if you don't mind. Other people up there, please.
Yeah, on that same idea of sin, I guess I'm wondering if we're so willing to call homosexuality sin. I guess I have problems with that assumption. To say in the same breath, homosexual murder, I think is really, it's hard for my mind. And I'm wondering then, are we talking about sex? Are we talking about sexuality? Are we talking about an act or a being? And are we willing to look at those two things in it within ourselves and our own capacities to love? I question the assumption of homosexuality as a sin.
I take back the thing I said about murderers, and I don't want to compare. I'm just saying that we go to prisons with our arms wide open, saying we love, you know, we go to the prisons. We shy away from any. We don't want to talk about it. We don't really want to expose, you know. So I don't put them in the same basket. I mean, it's just that our approach, it seems like we want to stay away from homosexuals, whereas we're willing to go out.
Okay, I saw some other hands before. I don't know where they were.
Yes, way back there.
Oh, yes. That's where it was. Yes, come on.
Okay, I feel that as Christians, loving one another is okay, but an example of where loving one another is not okay is I'm married. And for me to have a loving relationship, growing relationship with another woman is wrong, and that's to me, comes from Scripture.
You mean?
For me to have a relationship with another woman besides my wife, a loving, growing relationship, and for it to become physical, would be wrong. And for me, Scripture says that homosexuality is wrong. Now, as a church, I feel Paul makes it very clear that unless we as sinners ask people who sin in our midst to repent, and if they don't, for various steps, we are eventually supposed to develop for the church. And if we accept homosexualities, and we believe Scripture says that it's wrong, and we accept them in the church anyway, and do not eventually say they have to leave unless they give up the act, I'm not saying change who they are, then we are, as a church, watering down God's word, and we are becoming corrupt in ourselves. And we are losing the whole purpose of what God has asked us to become. So I would say, even if we talk about, I feel if we talk about accepting homosexuality as normal, we should do it very cautiously for the simple reason we would be making our own church becoming, as I think Scripture calls, lukewarm, and then God will want no part of us.
I hear several things in what you're saying. One of them is somehow equating a loving, caring, growing, intimate relationship with sexual activity. Another thing, and I will interject that I don't personally think that is true, that intimacy has very little to do with sexual activity. Another thing that I'm hearing you say is that sexual activity between two persons is sanctified, perhaps, or acceptable to God or acceptable to the church within the context of marriage. And I have to point out that marriage at this time and in this society is not an option between two people of the same gender. I had another point that I've lost.
Someone else. There was another hand somewhere. Yes, right here.
I just wanted to, and maybe some of the people here who are gay could really help me on this, but that there is a difference between someone who feels they are born or feels they are, as a part of their being, a homosexual, as opposed to people who have both homosexual and heterosexual activity and seem to be, you know, involved with a lot of different people. And I think there's a distinction between that. And I have two very close friends who are like brothers to me, who who really want to be heterosexual, but they've had, you know, a problem in their past, or they've, you know, had a lot of, you know, everybody's talking about influence in their early childhood, but these are people who want to be heterosexual, but find it hard to break wanting to go with homosexual also. And I was wondering, you know, there is a distinction. I don't know if we seem to be talking mostly about those who really feel they are initially homosexual. And there's, maybe it should be pointed out that there is a distinction between that, and that there's a lot of people who say they are homosexual but really feel uncomfortable with that and really feel unsatisfied and unfulfilled in their life, and yet they feel trapped in a lot of ways. And that has, you know, that's completely opposite of the people who feel they are homosexual to begin with.
Okay. Someone want to respond to that? All right. Oh, here.
I'm not sure that they feel like they're really not gay. Maybe they just feel like society is so down on them, they can't admit that they are.
Yeah, except they also enjoy not only sexual relations, but other relations with, you know, someone of the opposite sex. And they can't seem to really find, I don't know, where they belong, I guess.
Well, there is such a thing as bisexuality.
Well, that's really what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You would also assume to be saying that there are heterosexual people who are not satisfied with what they are and don't find their own identity in their heterosexuality, or aren't you saying?
Well, I'm talking about people who are,
yeah,
got one foot in both sides.
Okay. You're implying that the homosexual would be that way, but I guess I was saying, you know,
yeah,
heterosexuals who would also be dissatisfied and would be participating in both communities.
Yeah, I'm basically talking as Dennis said, bisexual,
okay,
people.
All right. I just trying to get clarity. Anybody else? Yes.
If I could respond to that. The classic study on human sexuality is the Kinsey study, which the model that's used as a reflection of the research done is that of a continuum, kind of a, you know, without specific stopping points between, well, it's a 6-point scale where someone at point one would be someone who feels exclusively or near exclusively homosexual, and someone at point six, I may have these backwards, I don't know. Someone at point six is someone who feels and experiences themselves in the world as being virtually exclusively heterosexual. Most people lie somewhere in between, to whatever degree. I am not bisexual, I can't speak for the ethics of a bisexual person in relation to their dealings with others in an intimate way. But I do want to say that I think it would be very wrong of us to imply somehow that, okay, well, heterosexuality is the best and it's the norm and that's the way everybody is or should be, and then, well, if you're not going to be heterosexual, then you should be homosexual, and if you're not going to be homosexual, heaven help you. You know, I don't think that's a kind of a system we could or should even allow ourselves to start thinking about. I know many bisexual people who are not content with their bisexuality. I know many homosexual and heterosexual people who are also not content with their experience of their sexuality. Again, as was said earlier, I don't think the problem is so much, this is where I am, how do I relate to the world in a sexual, intimate way? But rather, I have to relate to the world sexually, whether I like it or not. And the problem that we get into with these kinds of things is our sexuality rather than our homosexuality, our bisexuality, or our heterosexuality. So I'm not implying that I'm hearing that from you, it's just a point that, you know, I pushed a button and this is the words that came out.
If I can respond. I think what I'm trying to get feedback on, we're talking about the church and the homosexual, and how can the church help people who are seeking, you know, where they feel, I don't know how to word this, you know, where they feel comfortable or whatever, you know, people who want to be heterosexual or homosexual, or, I mean, I'm getting caught up in words here, but how can the church respond, and instead of, you know, we talk a lot about acceptance, but we need to be sensitive to those who do not feel they are doing what is right and really want to find what is right. You know, we need to be sensitive to that also, not just acceptance.
For heterosexuals and homosexuals as well as bi. So the question is, you know, where does the church turn for that? Often to pastors, you know, and often, so you could go on like that. That's, I'm not participating. I just want to say you might be. That's if that's what you're heading for. Maybe somebody wants to pick up on that. Anybody want to respond to her question? Yes.
I'd like to say what the church condemns as sin is really not the sexuality, but the misuse of sexuality, which is, the church would define extramarital relationships. The problem for the homosexual is that he has no option. He can only have extramarital relationships because we do not officially sanction it yet. We should not forget that not every heterosexual has only marital relationships. There are a lot who have other ones, but we don't talk about that. If we look in the Bible, Jesus is very soft on sexual crimes. The woman at the well, you had seven husbands. Who throws the first stone? Jesus would probably condemn the one who is not loving toward a sex offender far more than the one who is committing a sexual crime.
Someone else? Thank you. Yes, sir.
I believe we started out here that what should the Lutheran churches, shall I say, stand or policy like that be?
No, that's not where we started out.
Oh, okay.
All we said was the church, discussion of the church and the homosexual.
The church,
that's
and
all. And we weren't asking for a Lutheran church stand or anything else. Could be that if you wanted to. I'm just saying we didn't start there. But if you would like to take in that direction, you're surely made to.
I was just thinking here that we started out with love, let's say, of two of the same sex. Then we now got sort of away from the love side. We got strictly on, I guess I could say, the sex side or channel. And this is what I think is a very important part of it, that love, some of us may have, like me, may have brothers that you love dearly. Some of you women may have sisters, or we may have mothers or fathers. I don't think we should always equate love with sex,
right?
Because there certainly can be love without sex, and there certainly is sex without love.
Right.
And this is where in my mind, I come down to it. Far be it for me to say it's any worse for, let's say, homosexuality than it is heterosexuality without marriage. And this is where my opinion or concept of sin comes in. And yes, sin can be forgiven, and I'm sure not the one to judge how God judges. Mm-hmm. But it's... To me, we get sex and love here.
Sure.
Let's.
Well, as soon as you start, I think as Judy was saying, as soon as you get into the area of saying, adding to the word sexuality or any word like homosexuality, heterosexuality, somewhere along the line, you're going to have to deal both with love and with genital activity. You know, and it's you can decide, well, let's talk about this for all that. But the concepts, you know, really come together. And you can't avoid both of them and still be honest with the words. I think that's. So I'm just saying, I think it's fair to our discussion. You can all limit the way you want to talk about it if you should choose. Yes?
I would be interested in talking a little bit about ways in which you have found the church or people of the church good to you or for you, or how the church has come to you or spoken to you. It'd be nice to hear some examples of that.
Well, certainly you can take Holden Village. This is the church. And there's a life and balance in here for me at Holden Village. I enjoy my work. I enjoy the outdoors. I enjoy the people I work with and eat with. I enjoy men and women, a balance of different ages and I think we all need that, but I'm not unique in that respect. I wish that for all of my lesbian sisters and my gay brothers, that we could all participate in such a community as this. And yet, when I told my friends I was coming here, there was nothing but concern on their part. Why? Because all of them had been raised in Christian church or the Jewish faith and had had such horrendous, awful experiences with their pastors or with their rabbis or with their priests that they'll probably never go back. And all I could see was peril for me in coming to such a community. On the other side, part of it has been a tenacity on my part to hold on for dear life. And certainly events in the last couple of years, I have been put in that position that if I don't hold on to the church, I have nothing. And it's not really a decision on your part whether I belong here or not. It's my decision to not let go of you. And I don't know if there's a victory in that or what, but there certainly is no choice on my part. I have nowhere to go but to the church.
Time for one more comment, if you'd like, please.
Like Molly, my experience has been that if I, for a while, for a lot of gay people, it seems, for gay and lesbian people, it seems that the choice is often between claiming their sexuality, their sexual identity, and claiming their Christianity and claiming their relationship with God and with other Christian persons. Some choose to claim their sexuality. Some choose to deny their sexuality and claim the church. And some of us are kind of caught hanging on with both hands, trying not to be pulled apart. For me, it has also been an experience that if I let go of the church, and if I let go of the caring that I have experienced, which so far outweighs the pain that I've experienced at the hands of the church, though that has not been small, then I really have very little. So to me, the church is helpful in that the people are helpful. The church structure itself is not always helpful, and the decisions made by the corporate bodies of the church are not always helpful and sometimes harmful. But if I let go of this caring from people, I get into real trouble. If I could put in one little quick commercial. There is an organization in the Lutheran Church which is called Lutherans Concerned and is geared toward building more understanding between the church as it stands and those of us who are also the church, who are also gay and lesbian. I have more information if anybody would like to see it.
That runs out our time. The one thing I didn't say when it began, I knew there was something I was trying to think of, is that there wasn't any goal for resolving a problem or getting an answer at the end and saying, or now it's been all settled. That's not the goal of a forum, as you can well see from this evening. But it is the goal of what we did do, and that was to share back and forth. And we have joined many other people in the church, in the Lutheran Church and many churches, who are continuing this kind of discussion, at times more focused on the Word of God. That's another way of going about it. Another times, like tonight, focused on the sharing of the people who are here in the room. And Holden will remain committed to that kind of discussion where people can get their points of view aired and also can be all led back to an understanding of how we will be led by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, again, as revealed in His Word. Grateful for your participation tonight. Thank you very much.